Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for a beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Thank you for joining me today. I want to do something a little bit different this week. I want to take up a theme in this season of Lent. We're in the season of Lent, this season of repentance and sacrifice and examining our lives before the Lord, gladly turning to Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring healthy conviction to our lives, areas we need to bring to the Lord who's full of mercy, who wants to lead us to repentance that leads to deeper growth in holiness and union with Him, love of God and love of neighbor. You know, in some way, what the church is always about is leading us deeply into, through her preaching, her teaching, through the sacramental life of the church, the witness of the saints and what we inherit and what we're walking in, and hopefully through the healthy preaching of the church, is always to help us align ourselves with love in the right way, to align our loves is maybe a better way to put it. Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said that to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he said, this is the first and the greatest thing. There's nothing greater. There's no higher aspiration for a human being. There's no good that's higher than that for a human being. This is, you might say, the perfection of humanity. The love of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, the greatest man who ever walked the earth, the God-man, the greatest, wisest teacher, who himself is the way, the truth, and the life, communicates to us where the gold is. What is the most noble life? What is the life that God himself calls great and God crowns? It's summarized in the two great commandments. So what I just said about loving God first and then loving your neighbor as yourself. These loves. And notice, loving yourself in the right way, in God, understanding how God loves us and being able then to live in that love. So this is critical. It's a perfect thing to kind of lay before the Lord in a season like the season of Lent, because what we're trying to align our loves, we're trying to bring ourselves into right and deeper relationship with God's help, with the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the journey of holiness is not just a self-improvement project where God is saying, okay, it's that I'm ringing the bell for Lent. Now go get your act together. Now go pull it all together. No, it's for us to be more attentive to God, to have more time of silence before the Lord, of listening to the Lord, which means all of it means what? Abiding in the Lord. Because this work of transformation is a gift of God and a grace from God that we cooperate with. And understanding who God is and how God purifies and strengthens us, the different ways God does that, is really important. And we always want to be able to cooperate fundamentally with what God is doing and with Jesus' leadership in our life. And that begins with the faith, the deep surrender and trust and acceptance of the promises of the Lord to us that are direct, that are personal. They're corporate, of course, but they touch each and every one of us personally. That the Lord said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will lead you through the gift of the Holy Spirit I'm giving you, will lead you to all truth. He'll counsel, he'll help. And so, and will give you a new power to live a new way of life. That's why this season can be so exciting, because it's not just, again, the self-improvement project where I just gotta dial down harder and just be tougher on myself and these kinds of things. Yeah, sacrifices are important. Fasting, I talked about last week, which is a very important part of the season. It's ways in which we dispose ourselves, though, to the work of God in us. So one of the things I want to do this week, or the central thing, maybe we'll end up spending the whole week on it, is understanding the discipline of the Lord. A critical piece of understanding the nature of God and how God relates to humanity in different ways. One of the subjects that's very clear, and it's all over the Bible in one way or another, are stories about God's judgments, the judgment of God. Isaiah the prophet, chapter 26, verse 9, said, when God's judgments are in the land, men learn righteousness. Sometimes what's needed and what God needs to do and does because he loves us is exercise a severe mercy. And that mercy comes to his people and also comes to the world. in ways sometimes that seem to us, especially as moderns, inconsistent with our concept of who the Lord is and who God is. But from Genesis to Revelation, we see various stories and ways in which God deals with his people to get their attention, to help them see how serious the situation is they're living in, the consequences of not paying attention to him and not following his teaching and living his commands. And God's commitment to us is so profound and unshakable in his love. He'll do whatever needs to happen to remove all that hinders love in our lives and whatever will bring us in right alignment with his love for us and our love for him. He wants to rightly align our love. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. The Father loves me the way the Father loves you. The Father loves you the way the Father loves me. And we're drawing you into this communion of love, which is the body of Christ being united with God to live the life of God. And that's the life of God. The constant willing of the good of the other, the self-donating love. And the way Jesus described the language, the love language of heaven, is it's walking in his commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, as I kept my Father's commandments. And he said, if you do this, we will love you and I will manifest myself to you. I will reveal myself to the one whose heart is pure, that is not without sin or stain, because none of us is perfect, but to the one who seeks God. The pure in heart will seek God. Well, what does that purity mean? Does it mean absolute perfection and cleansing and holiness? No, it means first and foremost, who is the single-hearted one who wants to love God first and has made that heart-level decision, and then my mind, my emotions, and my will, the thing Jesus calls us to, I pursue that, knowing I'm going to stumble and fall, but God's mercy is there, and he's going to give and bring forgiveness to my life. He's in my corner. He wants me to move in that direction because that's the life of heaven. And the saints show us in this life, friends, how far God is willing to go in sharing his grace with us and how profound a human life can be changed by human beings responding to the offer that the Lord gives us to walk in love and to reach amazing levels of perfection and holiness and heroic love that we see in the lives of the saints. That's meant to really encourage us. And thanks be to God, in the church year, the church leads us through a rhythm of remembering the lives of these extraordinary men and women. That's what you're called to be. That's what I'm called to be. And the Lord will do whatever it takes to get us to pay attention to that call and to give our heart to it. The Lord's preferred way of doing this is through acts of tremendous blessing, favor, mercy, kindness, gentleness, and responding in kind. So if my heart is hungry, my soul is hungry, and I walk in humility by God's grace and bow down before the Lord and pay attention to the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit and seek to abide in the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit fundamentally, and other things will also grow out of the relationship. If we're serious about it and we're cooperating with the Lord and it is number one in our life and how we live it out each day, he will change us in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness. These things will grow in us and we'll look more and more like the Lord and we'll see the Lord differently. We'll see the world differently. We'll see our neighbor differently. We'll love God first and then out of that love of God flows love for neighbor, and we walk out essentially what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, the kingdom lifestyle, you might call it, the lifestyle of the king, the pattern of life that Jesus communicates to us and said, this is what heaven values, and it starts with the first commandment. So whenever human beings fail to respond to the grace, let's say believers themselves become spiritually lazy, worldly, lukewarm, fleshy, trapped in the world because of our decisions, habit patterns of sin, maybe even mortal sin we fall into. We start living for the world. We start pursuing the idols that are in the world. We don't listen to the Lord's clarity about do not conform to this world but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of that renewal is to, by God's grace, we begin to see the emptiness of the idols of the world, which we thought they were the greatest things going, and in the flesh we can pursue them. Believers can fall back into that if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant, if we say yes to sin. And so that happens. And the Lord wants to get us out of that ditch we fall into, but sometimes human beings insist on staying in the ditch. And then the Lord, before it's too late, will do whatever it takes to shake people and awaken people. First, his church, and he does that through redemptive discipline, expressed, for example, in Hebrews chapter 12, where he said, God once again will shake the nations. This is a larger picture of really a prophetic word taken from a prophecy in the Old Testament and expressed in the New, that the Lord, first of all, is willing to shake the nations themselves to awaken human beings from heading down the wrong path that's profoundly destructive. Now, if we don't have a biblical worldview and we don't understand that we live in a fallen world, that the dominion of the kingdom of darkness is still very much present, and we're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil, these are realities that we face every day, and that human beings which are called to the height of glory can fall to the levels of darkness that no other creature on earth can fall. Because we have such a high capacity for the greatest heights, but we have a capacity for the lowest lows. And if we exercise our freedom and step into the darkness, there's almost no limit to how dark our life can become. And so God, who is light, comes in search of us, goes down into the depth of that ditch to bring us out. And Hebrews tells us this, that the Lord will exercise discipline. The analogy is the discipline of a loving father, who will discipline, sometimes physically discipline, a child who's unruly and is not listening for their own sake. And he said that for a while it's painful, but it will lead to the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And this is what God's after. Peace in you. Like Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace do I give peace. And so Jesus, the peace that was abiding in, dwelling in Jesus, those who are united to him in baptism, he wants to give to us to subdue the disorder and the lack within us and the lack of reconciliation and the lack of being rightly ordered under God's plan and purpose. And the righteousness is being in right relationship with God, to have our hearts set, as I said at the beginning of the show, on first things first, what's truly great. And Jesus fights for, and our Father fights for in us, our destiny, our life with them forever. What is true greatness, true glory, true magnificence and peace and joy beyond all comprehension. That's God's purpose for us. And we can begin to taste it here, even on earth, in the midst of suffering and trial. But sometimes the Lord intentionally has to bring about a redemptive discipline to awaken a lukewarm and a weak church, its salt going flat, its light going dim. And the Lord exercises that authority. And it's difficult and it's painful. I personally think that's part of what we're going through in the church right now. The Lord is surfacing the sin that's in the church in my life personally, but also corporately and leadership, and exposing the confusion and the darkness that's present in parts of the church. The Lord does that because he loves us and wants us to come further into the light. God bless you. Hope you can join me again tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.